Hey, stupid nerds, download the Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. So you can find out what happened to Frankenstein and the Wolfman and all that fictional stuff that never happened. And don't pay attention to World War II or the American flag or important things.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
Yeah, but yeah, the idea that like, oh yeah, I got a boner now. All the blood that was raging in my fear sensors is now in my dick. I guess we're all right. Come at me, Barry. You can eat me, but I'm gonna try and fuck you first.
Do you like white meat or hard meat?
Those aren't the two kinds.
Oh wait, those aren't the two kinds. I guess on this body, those are the only two kinds. I have been permanently transformed after that experience. So, and I slept with my lights on last night.
Really?
At home. Like, really? I mean,
do you need me to come over? Just,
you know what?
Hang out for a couple days?
Watch porn? What do you need right now?
I do. Can I just watch you watch?
I just want to make sure you're all right.
I walk in on you wailing on yourself, and you're like, I'm terrified, dude.
Yeah, well, yeah.
What's that in your ass? I swear I've never been this scared.
Trauma culminates in a lot of different forms for people.
Man, Ryan is really
scared. Butcher knife up your asshole? Yeah.
I figured. I think it was all a ploy to get us over there and beat him off, man. I think he just said he was scared. I want him to give him an HJ for 45
minutes.
But
you really are affected by this.
Yeah, truly. I mean, I tell you,
it's been a week.
It's been a hell of a week. Yeah. And, I used to tell people, I'm more afraid of people than ghosts. Like when you go on investigations, people are like, don't you get scared? And it's like, I'm more afraid of people than ghosts. But I will never say that about Bigfoot.
Yeah.
I will never say that about Bigfoot.
But then we're kind of miscategorizing this as Bigfoot. This is just, this could be its own thing.
This could be a monster. This could be a creature of some kind.
Once you introduce the idea of portal.
Yeah.
Here's what's really fucked
now
up.
Now it's just, that's just the spiritual internet. That's just spiritual Google. All of a sudden, portal, anything's in there. Anything you want to look up is coming out of there.
Carolyn zoomed in, got the image of the thermal, the head, the face on the thermal that they got.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a face?
Well, it's like a head.
Bigfoot with my neighbor's fucking dog.
And so she zoomed in on that, and she was looking, examining it, and she's like, oh, I see two eyes. Right here, you can see this is where the eyes are. And she goes, that's a snout. And I was like, don't say snout. Because I've never really been into dog man, as far as being a real thing. And you hear about dog man is Bigfoot can be scary, but when you hear stories about dog, there's no gray area with dog man. Dog man is going to eat you. Dog man wants to mess you up. There's nothing cool or kind about dog man, apparently. Yeah. And
the tabs I have open from this conversation.
Oh, you should
be dog man. I've got best gun for home defense. Frightened of Bigfoot and Merovinian bloodline RH negative.
Mountain lion scream.
Yeah, well, close. I doubled up to that one. Best gun for home defense. I heard that mountain lion scream. That's a real thing. Yeah. We need firearms.
Yeah. And I went. So then, after she was saying that, she's like, "Here, look right here." And granted, it's one of these things where it's in one of those images, that is such in this world, where it's like, "Oh, are you placing these images in your mind here, pareidolia, that sort of thing?" And I looked at it, and I was like, "Holy shit, dude, that's I never want to see that again." Mm. But that's the hard part about this whole thing. The experience was real and terrifying, and I've never experienced fear in such a level. And I wish I never had, but you intellectually believe in the existence of something, and then you experience it, and now you know it deep in your soul. Mm-hmm. But then in conjunction with that, which by itself is too much for me to handle currently, that I'm trying to integrate into my life moving forward, but now the portal thing, and knowing how credible of a witness I believe that both of them are, mm-hmm. Having met them and having spent 5 days and five nights with them, knowing they have no reason to lie, they're not looking for attention, they don't want it. And that's now I have to accept all these other things that they've told me as true as well when it comes to the portal and the different creatures that are coming through, not to mention the other things that, I can't even really talk about, at least on podcasts. It's now this shit's real. I have to wrap my brain around all of this stuff.
And just
I thought it was real before, kind of, you know what I mean? But now I know
but
it.
But it was fun.
Yeah.
And it was fun to look for it.
And just to clarify, this other investigative team that we can't speak of, they've talked to Carolyn.
They were coming to the property for 8 years before she found them.
They've confirmed that there is a portal on her property?
Oh, they're the one who told her.
Okay. It wasn't.
And they're the one that told her that she created the other one, and she didn't even realize it.
Imagine that.
How did she create this from?
I'm telling you, she is. If anybody wants to Google Ted Owens, do Google Ted Owens.
Well, I'm add another tab to this weirdness.
It's but here's what you have to. Here's the assumptions that I make, knowing this information that I have. Mm-hmm. That, like, okay, let's assume it's a big leap for a lot of people listening. Probably
Ted Owens is a college basketball coach from University of Kansas.
Yes. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, nope. Contactee. Sorry. Looking at the wrong one.
So what you have now is, if you assume, and some people listening might think it's a big leap to, like, okay, portals, come on, Singer, whatever. This is, you know, you're falling for it. But okay, just for a second, suspend your disbelief and understand the portals are real. Now you understand the portals are other places. And that there are things coming out of these portals in other places. This is interdimensional from what I've been told. And now there's people that can make them too without even realizing it, which means that there's probably some people who know they can make them. Mm. So now you've got this wild goose chase around the globe of, you know, research teams trying to figure out where these portals are, who these people are. And not to mention the UFOs and sightings on this property that we didn't even get into. Like, you know, her and Bill have seen and heard UFOs on the property. And so it's like you've got orbs, UFOs, creatures, Bigfoot, ghosts. It's just crazy.
But does that mean then? But I, like, every time I hear about portals, they seem to be like one direction.
Well,
like, what about people wandering into that? What happens when a human being is the scariest thing in that next dimension, and the scream is just somebody going, "Where am I? I'm hungry."
From what I've been told, they are not one way.
So that's what I want. Like, of all the stuff we've come up with, and I know I shit on a lot of it. Because a lot of the times, it's like, I'm sitting here talking to you. I know you, man. You being a comedian grounds you in a way that somebody else, like, oh, all this stuff happens to me. And it's like, yeah, but you're a comedian. You're also built to, like, sniff out bullshit in other areas. So that, like, make them like, all right, I'm going to listen to Singer's story. Whereas the stuff, like, the guy that, like, went and, like, blew off three of his fingers shooting at him. Like, fuck this guy.
Phil Schneider.
Yeah, like, there's so many. Then you go one more Google search and it's like, oh yeah, he lied about all of his college
degrees. All you have to do is go to page two.
Yeah, that's all I've been saying the whole time. Like, go to the next page, Dave. Go to page two on this. And then you'll see it's everybody going, this guy's full of shit.
And there's so many hoaxers.
But you're my friend. Yeah. I know you. I got your page two, buddy. You're here. And a comedian's like, oh, I have to look at everything with a bit of skepticism just for the exercise of writing about it, because either I prove myself wrong through skepticism and that's interesting to talk about that subject, or I prove what my intuition was correctly by researching it.
And I'm going to have to be hypnotized at some point in the somewhat near future, I think, to probably try to work through this.
Dave will do it.
You know, like
Dave will dangle some sausage joints in front of your head.
You know, all you have to do is watch a couple YouTube videos, you could do it.
Okay.
According to some people.
You're getting sleepy. Oh, he's beating off again. Wake him up.
You'll be asleep.
He's scared. He starts beating off in the session. We got to end it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like once you... And I don't want to know this shit, like, to the point of, it's like, be careful, you know, what you wish for, because you just might get it.
Yeah.
Let's backtrack real quick, though. You mentioned portals aren't one way.
Is that what this investigative team said? From my understanding.
Does that mean I could go down there and get into a fucking portal?
Well, I will tell you, I was standing in the place where the portal was.
God, that'd be great.
And we measured the portal. I tried to do all kinds of stuff. I tried to spirit box the portal.
So
I
saw where the portal was. Dowsing rods.
Well, here's a weird thing that happened, too. Like, the storm, the Hurricane Michael, which was extremely devastating to that area.
When was
that? Last fall.
Okay.
And there's all these huge, like, pine trees, right? Like, I just kept thinking of Isbell's Alabama Pine song the whole time I was there. And there's this circle that is in this, like, it's down this big hill from the back deck. You can see it's like a sharp drop down into the back. And there's, this is where the, down there in this little tiny area of flatland is where this portal allegedly is. And there's trees everywhere that have fallen everywhere, but they all fell away from this little circle.
Really? Yeah.
Which is interesting, right? It could, who, it's a hurricane. You can't
predict this.
So cut two, we set up a bunch of trail cams. We set up three trail cams. And then the next day we're going down to, because the first day we just went down there and set up cams. That's it. The next day we're going down there, me and Dan Lindholm, we're going down there, boots on the ground to investigate. I'm going to try to make contact with some kind of energy or spirit down there in the portal. And so we're doing all kinds of stuff. And we're measuring the portal, the measurements, what we think it is, right? And, but we get down there and we notice something very interesting. A giant tree has fallen into the portal since we were there last. Like a big ass tree, and
since
like,
in a couple in the week that you were there, the 4 or 5.
No, we're talking in like the 24 hours since we went down to the portal.
Okay.
And set up the trail cams, because the one tree that fell is one of the trees where I was like, hey, we could put a trail cam on that one, and they're like, well, that's too far away, blah blah blah. You know, I was getting like, it was a crash course in like field research of Bigfoot for me this whole trip.
Yeah,
being out there with these guys and like learning how to track footprints and identify things and you know all that kind of stuff. So they're like, no, we can't use that tree. It's a good spot, but it's too far away, blah, blah, blah. And that's the tree that fell. And then they went to the trail cam footage a couple days later at the end of the thing.
Yeah.
The image, the last image you see is you see the back of my head. Then the very next image is the tree is down. 45 minutes after we put the camera up. Or 45 minutes after you see the back of my head, the tree fell. But we didn't, like, go anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, we left the area and went up to the house and we're hanging out. We would have heard a giant tree fall down.
What kind of tree?
Like one of those big pines or whatever it is. And, roots, you know, it's probably like 70 or 60-foot tall tree.
From out of the ground roots? Or the
no,
tree
like
broke?
From, it was broke. It broke. Which was very common out there because all these trees, a ton of trees were broken from the hurricane.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could be, yeah, it could be coincidence that that tree just decided to break into the portal where we think the portal is.
Bigfoot could have snapped it off and threw it down in there.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's because we did see a structure the day after we went to a spot. We didn't, nobody saw anything. The next day we go back, and the first thing somebody sees when we go back to the exact same spot is, holy shit, look at this structure, which is the first thing Bigfoot people look for, I guess, are these big X structures made of wood. And it is two logs that are 40 to 50 feet long. Making an X on another tree. But here's the thing. Neither one of them are touching the ground. They're both suspended. And again, you could say hurricane, crazy hurricane.
Yeah, I went out with a Bigfoot guy and he's like, oh, they'll break a branch and twist it a little bit. And that's their sim. I'm like, that's a broken branch, man. Like there was like nothing deliberate looking about it. But I don't know about the X.
But these were two 40 to 50 foot like trees that had been... That are forming like a,
that is
an X.
That is what they do. They'll
but here's the thing on the one on the one that goes from the top left down to the bottom right, and the bottom right and the bottom left of both of these log, these giant tree logs or whatever, were suspended, not touching the ground. They're like lodged into this other tree, right? But the top left one that's pointing up to the left, that's the break of the tree. So that's the like where it was broke, but it's up top. So and again. Hurricane, crazy, powerful winds, all this kind of stuff. But at the same time, we were in that exact same spot, and none of these guys who are Bigfoot enthusiasts or, and been out in the field for years, you know, tracking and looking for the creature, saw this 50-foot X structure, which was unmistakable.
They've been known to rip trees up by out of the ground, flip them upside down, and impale them back in the ground upside down.
And these guys that I was out there with, they've had one of the guys has had like a smaller tree thrown at them like a javelin when they've been out in the woods at night.
Did you see that Bigfoot video of the Bigfoot throwing like a javelin the tree? That's
insane. And they've had like Dan Lindholm and Ed Brown of both. They've been around where, what do they call them, fake bluffs or bluff runs or bluff charge, I think is what it's called, where you'll hear something running at you in the woods at night or whatever, and then it'll stop before it gets to you to try to just scare you off.
Yeah,
I think they call them bluff charges. Both of them have experienced that. They've both had... you know, the tree, like a javelin thrown at them. They've had other things thrown at them in the night.
Why do they still live on the property?
That's an interesting question, and that's a big question. That they were told, Carolyn specifically was told, that it doesn't matter if she moves because all of this stuff will follow her.
Why does she think that?
Because that's what the other research team told her. And the other research team consisted of, I think at its largest, had 12 different people in it.
Jeez.
And they'd been going there for since 2008, but Carolyn didn't find them on the property snooping around until 2016. And it's funny because the BFRO has been out there. Uh-huh. And some of the research members of the team that they've gotten to know a little bit were in the BFRO expedition in like 2008 or whenever it was, or I don't know when it was, but and acted like they didn't know each other.
Huh.
They were just like people, like civilian enthusiasts of Bigfoot, you know, who like the BFRO stuff. And so they realized that later. And it should be noted that these people also are terrified when they're out on the property at times.
Yeah.
Because they're like escorted around with heavily armed people.
Yeah.
And so it's in the documentary is going to come out next year, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I don't know when it comes out. And Ed Brown's great. And I'm sure he's going to pour his heart and soul into like editing it all together and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know what story will be told through the documentary. But I do know that like
there was. Yet?
Uh-huh.
Does it have a title yet?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Obviously, I'll let you know. But it was a transformative event for me, like a 5 days, five nights. I've never been embedded anywhere that long doing any kind of investigation.
Yeah.
And like you were just really just lit. You're in it now. And like, there was nowhere to go. I wanted to leave right after it happened to me. But I was like, well, I'm not. There's no way I can even pack my stuff up in the dark in my car and leave and drive down this long ass dirt sand driveway. That was like probably, I don't know, 3/4 of a mile long at least to even get to the little state highway road out there. Like, I'm not driving through that darkness. I barely went outside the next day
from the house. How are you getting tuned up now? How are you getting,
like,
handling
what do you mean?
Yourself?
Or, I don't know. I think.
So you're going to get hypnotized, get a little hypnotherapy?
Yeah, I'm probably going to try to. I'm going to see my doctor just because I got these bug bites that just won't go away too. I'm covered in like bug bites.
Where? Man, I've had that shit last summer.
Like, on my foot, feet, and then in my, not on my dick. not on my dick. Not this time.
Got these bug bites.
I got two on my chest and one right between my legs. milk comes out of them. It's weird. But you have to, you know, scratch them a bunch. It feels good at the end.
No.
But, yeah, so I drank bourbon the last couple nights. The first night I got back late Friday night, and I drank bourbon until I just couldn't see anymore.
I listened to your podcast when you told the story initially, and you're like, yeah, I just I drank bourbon until I passed out. So, like, that's not the best way to handle that.
Yeah. And I've changed my meditation to, I used to, like, envision while I was meditating roots growing out of my body to the center of the earth, to this, like, source of light and strength and, like, just being grounded.
Yeah.
And now I've got the earth and like the trees of the earth, like sending roots at me and like turning me into a fucking tree.
Taking you back down.
Not taking me, like building me up and out. I'm now like, so my roots will go down into the earth. The earth's roots will come up and wrap around me. And now I just look like imagine Groot from like, you know, whatever, like, but just like jacked on steroids and like nothing can fucking hurt me now. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm trying to like power myself up that way.
Last night I had a dream that a hamburger was trying to eat me.
This portal thing is just, oh man.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah. Portals are fucking nuts.
And the
thought of them going both directions, the thought of like you could have been snooping around down there and gotten sucked up into a portal.
And they say that things are opening and closing constantly every day.
That's crazy.
And I have a theory that maybe it's the Sasquatch, but and I think I told you that screenplay I wrote about Carl Treadway, the monster hunter, that big, like that short film is no longer funny to me now.
Yeah.
The short film I made where a guy just in the cabin by himself getting ready to fight Bigfoot.
Is that online anywhere?
That's on YouTube, yeah.
What's
and,
the name of that so people can look it up?
It's called Monster Hunter.
Monster Hunter.
And
it's bizarre.
Like, yeah, there's just, yeah. And so that, to me now, I'm just like, oh, I can't even think about watching it. But a feature length script I wrote for that guy a while ago was like Bigfoot were protecting the Fountain of Youth. Mm-hmm. That was their job,
yeah.
And to keep it from humans because they'll fuck it all up. And now I'm like wondering, like, oh, I wonder if these Sasquatch are actually here to like keep us away from the portal. You know, if these creatures, whatever they are there, like, don't come into this thing, man. You're not allowed in here. Mm-hmm. And I took solace in the fact that it didn't get me, even though it could have. And I told Carolyn that. I was like, you know, no one's been attacked here before. And, you know, it didn't attack me. It could have if it wanted. And then she goes, well, I don't know about that.
What? No one's been attacked
And yet? Then she starts to tell a story about a guy who was, like, literally getting ready to be attacked. They feel like he was getting ready to be attacked by some creature, some monster out there. She's had people who have been out to the property before who will call her randomly since they've been out there and beg her to move. Like, you have to get off that property. There's a monster out there.
Has there been any physical? That
they have seen it with their bare eyes, you know?
Has there been any physical injuries, anything like that?
No physical injuries that I'm aware of. We did get physical evidence. I mean, there was a cast of a print made while I was there.
But with all these encounters and portals, I'm like, there's no physical encounter, like, but it's like to talk like, all right, now this is, I'm probably going to get convoluted here talking about, like, you're just saying, like, before, like, oh, consciousness could be shared amongst several people. Mm-hmm. So what if this is like a something floating around in a collect, like, you get into an area where everybody's going to have a sip. We're all going to hear that scream. Nobody's getting physically attacked. There's no physical, like, evidence on your body. But anybody in this region, it's like going to see a movie. Oh, we're all going to watch the same movie because we're in the theater. Like, you're walking into the theater there. And now what shared consciousness you're going to have with all these people. You know? Nobody's ever physically like, I got my nose broken because Bigfoot punched me. But you're all freaking out. Like, is that, like, do you give any credit to that or any kind of, like, you know, like,
well, I definitely
you've done DMT, and everybody sees, what is it, like, the purple woman or something, like the similar.
Did you see the purple woman?
I saw.
But you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, there's like a similar like destination in with
which
when
is
you're
crazy doing, to think about.
Exactly, but that we all about. Like, your brain will connect to that one thing when you release that part.
Yeah.
With DMT, which I have not done, but if you're like, what if a geographic location? The idea of a portal might not be physical, but it's like this mental, oh, you're all here. You're all going to get zapped in the brain. The same
no,
way.
I definitely could. I could dig into that for sure. Mm. I mean, the idea, too, of having the experience. Listen, I know I was set up for it, too. Like, you know, I mean, I'm set up as a believer going in. It's been the location has been sold to me as like the new, even crazier Skinwalker Ranch, because you have you can actually have access to this property as opposed to Skinwalker Ranch, where you can only be around the outside of it. And then you hear the stories once you get there from the people who live there, and you believe them because they seem so credible. And so now you're walking around ready for something to happen to you psychologically. And then a few days go by and nothing creepy happens. You kind of settle down into the place, even though you're still inside of that system, right? Or that, like, that region that you're talking about, where all this stuff is happening, maybe to the same people, or only happens here. And then it happens to you, and you realize, holy fucking shit, this stuff is real.
Yeah,
like, in a way I didn't realize. Get me the hell out of here as quickly as possible. And having said that, I will go back to this place.
Can I come with you?
You know, that's very possible that you can come with me.
Seriously, I want
to
go.
And I will not be, because when I left, Carolyn was like, you have to come back and visit. Please, please come back and visit. And they're just happy, both of them, especially her, because she's the main experiencer there, even though Bill does experience stuff. Mm. But she's just happy that people are, like, validating her experiences.
Yeah.
That's it, because basically at the end of the day, this is just a human story
about
a woman who, you know, if she was going out and about talking about it all the time, people, she'd be, you know, everyone would call her crazy and you're a kook, you're mentally ill. And so when people like us come out there and then we have experiences like I did, I don't think anybody else in the group had such a terrifying experience as I did, but you know, it's validation for her. And not only that, but it's like, she's been living this life and I can't imagine. And that's why she's on this PTSD therapy program. Like, that's ongoing.
Yeah.
To help her just even be able to walk outside with her dog.
Yeah, how is it even PTSD? How is it post-traumatic?
Yeah, it's like
now, it's current. Now traumatic. Yeah. Ongoing traumatic stress.
And so she just always says, I just pray to God that Bill never hears the growl, because he'll move us the next morning. We'll be out of this house. And it's like his dream home that he built, you know, that they built.
Mm, really?
I mean, so it's... But I do believe that the location of that place, there's something going on in that location. And they just happened to, and she just happened to be this super powerful, you know, benevolent witch.
It just happened to move to this parallel. Was it 37th parallel?
I think it's too south.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious about that one too. I'm like, is this that
37th parallel? Isn't it interesting? I think Interstate 40 mm-hmm. pretty much traverses the 37th parallel.
Yeah,
and
that's right through the middle of the country, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's southern border of Utah, Colorado.
But they've had crazy things. Like, there's been crazy things on the neighbors' farms. There's been, and there was this woman who was visiting who was talking about, she lives not even close, like somewhere on the other side of the country. She'd talk about, and she, like, boards horses. And she would say they would go out there and they'd brush all their horses' manes, right? And then the next morning, they'd go out to feed the horses, and the manes would be braided.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
And nobody was braiding the manes.
Whoa.
Something's braiding the manes. But it's like,
he's a big fan.
And there's like, yeah, this just, yeah.
So I'm going to braid your mane.
Like Bigfoot's like painting nails.
Yeah, so what's coming out of the portal that a horse, and they're like, oh, but this thing's cool.
Yeah, because they don't spook at all.
Yeah. I was gonna say, you know, those steady beasts, horses.
I think about that a lot. I was thinking about that this weekend when I was camping, about other animals like birds and stuff. I'd love to be able to talk to some of these birds and be like, "What do you know? What have you seen?" Because some of these other animals, you know, if we believe that Bigfoot exists, a lot of these small creatures or birds, they're, you know, they've probably seen all kinds of shit.
That's another thing she said.
Harry and the Hendersons, philosophical.
She said that. She goes, you know what's interesting is we never have ravens out here. Never. Ever since y'all got here, there's a raven following you around.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
There's a raven following us around, and then over on the other location.
Sounds like a Tim Burton movie.
Right? It's like,
can we acknowledge, shout out to my friend Kevin, who pointed out as well, like, those things are bigger than ever now, aren't they?
Yeah, like giant crows.
Aren't they just?
Well, yeah, I think they are just bigger versions of crows.
But,
right?
When did this happen?
Yeah.
Yeah, when did this Halloween shit all of a sudden go down?
Like, when did the ravens start hitting the gym? Like,
turkey-sized blackbirds just hanging around? Like, because it was those things when my buddy said that, I'm like, I have been thinking that. Like, when you know, that's a big one. Oh, that's a big one.
It's almost like they're almost big enough to not give a fuck about you anymore, to be scared of you. Yeah. And
I don't think they are at all.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, faithful podcast listeners. My name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones, or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games. My dad gets involved. It's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
I tell you about the morning after I saw the movie It. Mm-mm. And what happened to me at the park.
Oh, man. So, that's what a movie I was just about, I got to see that new It. I haven't seen it.
Dude, it's really good. It's good, yeah. So I go to the park the day after I see the movie It. And you know how I love lizards.
Uh-huh.
And
oh, shit. By the way, I don't mean to interrupt. No shit. I saw a lizard last night. It was bigger than my dog.
What?
I'm not joking.
You need to tell people about your dog.
Your dog is a chihuahua puppy. Yes, exactly.
Most things are bigger than your dog.
The dog is still 3 pounds.
Most things are bigger than that dog.
The dog is still 3 pounds. Like, this lizard... The body, yeah. I'm not kidding, the body of the lizard was as long as my laptop.
Oh, that's a big point. That's not the tail. That's what I call it. I call them dragons.
Yeah, is that an in-town lizard or is that Joshua Tree?
That's a dragon.
Oh, well, yeah. Out there.
Well, yeah, I know. I mean, I know there's Komodo dragons and shit.
I thought you were saying
an
in-town lizard.
No, I mean, I know it's a lizard, but I still call them dragons.
But still,
when they're that big. Yeah.
like a 2-pound lizard.
Ugh. I love it.
Ran right in front of me. Like, sitting on a chair.
Somewhat for eating.
Yeah. Anyway, go
ahead. I love lizards.
I've never seen one that big outside of
a big boy.
Nature
documentary. That's a big daddy.
Yeah.
So I see this lizard. I'm walking down the like concrete, getting ready to go up to the trail. And then this lizard stops in front of me, looks at me, which is customary. And I always say I love you when I see a lizard, because one of these days I'm going to get a bunch of lizards just following me on the trail.
Didn't a lizard live in your brain one
time? Well, see, that was a different time.
Okay.
Can we pause here so I can pee? Because I feel like we're going down a whole other place. Yeah.
I got to pee, too.
I always say I love you to a lizard. Didn't a lizard live in your brain? I got to take a leak, you guys. Let me hold on 1 second, because this got weird.
So I see the movie yet, right? And this lizard stops and he's staring at me. And we have this, you know, this moment where I say, you know, whatever. And because I feel like one of these days they'll...
You say, I love you to the lizards.
I say, yeah.
I, for some reason, have concern for the lizards. They always run in front of the bike when I'm riding my bike. It's like, you dummies, just get off the trail.
Exactly. And I tell them, I was like, oh, do you want to show me you want to hike with me today? And then I'm hoping that sooner or later, like 15 of them will just be leading me down the trail one of these days.
Yeah.
I just got to get my vibration level, you know, low enough or high enough or whatever it is. So... this lizard stops, looks at me.
For your own safety, stop fucking with your vibration. Because this whole interview has been you worried about your vibration too much, and now you got PTSD.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Like, once you, like, really embrace the woo, which I have done, now the universe is like, here you go. Here's all of it, right?
Is that like Korean chi? What is that?
That's just like, you know, people.
Who are you, RZA?
I got cheese different over there.
Yeah, yeah. I got purple drink and I got the woo on the shelf next to the shelf. But so I take a step forward. The lizard runs past me into one of those sewers. That's like the above ground sewers out here that have like the thistle or whatever it is, like, you know, over the openings.
Mm-hmm.
It's missing a big chunk of it. And the lizard is running into the sewer to get away from me. And then as it, what is it, crescendos or crosses the opening of the sewer mouth, a squirrel pops up with its mouth open, and the lizard runs right into the squirrel's mouth.
No!
And then the squirrel goes, hum, and then just dips back down.
No! Are you kidding?
Like a whack-a-mole.
And I say that's like a carnival game.
Yeah.
That's like a rudimentary video game.
So it's like 12:30 in the afternoon, daylight, at Brand Park. There's people around. I just see this happen, and I just go, holy shit! It is a squirrel now! You know, because it's a clown.
Yeah.
I was like, Pennywise is a squirrel. Did you see? Pennywise is a squirrel.
Oh,
I'm
my
like,
God.
So I'm yelling like, Pennywise is a squirrel. And there's all these people like, why is this guy in the middle of the road, of this parking lot, just screaming, Pennywise is a squirrel? Like,
sorry, guys.
Dude.
I just saw Bigfoot the other day. I'm a little tweaked out.
It ran right into the squirrel's mouth.
The squirrel was waiting for it.
It was planned.
It was planned.
It was calculated.
Yeah. It was like such a, what do they call it? Like a trap, you know, a speed trap on the freeway when there's a cop hiding behind a billboard or something.
I bet you that squirrel's the one that put the hole there.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised.
Little welding equipment.
But yeah, it was the only way to get in.
But then is that the squirrel you had to save from a crow?
Oh, no. So then a week
that
or two.
That would have been like, well, that's just fair.
Well, a couple weeks later, I'm back at the same park.
That squirrel flew into a crow's mouth.
And then that crow flew into a dinosaur's mouth. You wouldn't believe it. You should spend some time in my world.
Anyway, that's why I'm a vegetarian.
So, well, because crows, we were talking about crows, and crows have facial recognition.
Yeah, they can recognize
people. They recognize faces. People. So I remember 2 weeks after that, I saw a bunch of crows in this grass area where there's picnic tables in the park right by the trails. And so I run over there. I'm like, what is going on?
And one of the crows was like, hey, you're the one that sold a squirrel and the lizard.
And so I see that they're trying to pick up this baby squirrel from the grass to eat it and fly away with it. And so I see it, and I'm just like, no! And I run over, and I shoo him off. And the one squirrel, like, looks at me, and he's, like, hovering about 4 feet off the ground. And then, like, the baby squirrel drops out of its mouth. And then I was like, go, 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 go! And then that crow just kind of, like, looks at me and, like, flies off.
Yeah.
Every time.
Your facial recognition.
Yeah, every time I've been hiking.
It's like, I remember you, motherfucker.
Yeah. If it had fingers, it would do the point at its eyes and then point it at your eyes.
And the next day you were eating a Big Mac and that crow came and slapped it out of your hands.
And almost every time I'm hiking now out there, ever since, it was about a year ago or whenever that movie came out, like, it had been shortly after that, there's a crow that won't stop squawking at me.
That's the one.
That's the one. He recognizes me.
I didn't know about the facial.
That's crazy.
They can remember your face. And even if you're in a giant crowd, they'll remember your face. And like that crow just, he harasses me, or she harasses me every time I'm hiking now almost.
That's crazy.
Like, I, to the point where now I say hello. Yeah. I say hello to it because it just keeps squawking at me. But yeah, so I'm, you know, I'm pretty connected to the animal kingdom.
You're too connected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You where do you go if you're too connected to nature? Like, I just want to connect with nature. That seems like I'm too connected with nature.
Well, that's why I was talking about, like, I'm no longer a mountain house guy all of a sudden, even though it's been my dream for years. It's even on my altar. Like, I want to just have, like, a penthouse or, like, an apartment on, like, the 30th fucking floor surrounded by concrete.
Just get, like, a job at Dave and Buster's.
But that's where Mothman shows up.
That's true. I get my place in Joshua Tree. We'll get you out there.
I do love Joshua Tree. I mean, you can get acres of land for, like, nothing out there.
I'm serious.
Well, because then you got to figure out how to get water to it.
Yeah.
That's how they get you.
And there's a ton of – I almost ran out of gas in central West Texas on this trip back.
Jeez.
Because I was jamming out to John Prine and Graham Parsons too hard. I was soft rocking too hard my way through Texas.
You go the 10?
Yeah, because the 10 was right by where I was.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a few minutes, and boom, I just took it the whole way. Mm-hmm. And I buried the needle like I've never buried it before, in the middle of nowhere. And luckily,
it's like that Seinfeld episode when Kramer's taking a test drive.
Yeah, that's what I kept thinking of.
Kramer and that other guy—they went further beyond the needle than anyone.
I couldn't stop thinking of that. And like, I mean, it didn't go down. The needle doesn't go down any further than it was. And I was just like, no. I'm like, I can't handle being stranded in the middle of nowhere.
As much as you travel, you got to keep an eye on that.
But yeah, especially just after having that experience too, like the night before, a couple nights before. Now I'm thinking I'm going to be stranded in the desert in Texas, but like luckily I'm going to a gas station.
You could run out of gas, but then you run out of gas.
It's like 40 miles between gas stations out there.
I did that once.
I've ran out of gas. Two blocks from my house when I was growing up. I'm like, well, I feel like a real fucking... Like, hey, Mom and Dad, if you needed any further doubt to know I'm not prepared for the world, I need some gas. Two blocks from home.
Did I tell you the story that Lisa Best and I were on tour, and I ran out of gas near Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and we had some joints, and I always kept the joints on the dash in case I need to toss them out if there's a cop behind me. So I left a note on the dash that, hey, ran out of gas, please don't tow. And then me and Lisa are walking, and she's like, you know, you left that note for the cops right next to your joints. So like, I walked like 2 miles, and then she reminded me, and then I had to walk back, get the joints, and like, because my note to the police, hey, don't tow my car. By the way, those aren't joints either.
Yeah, so. And by the way, I'll be right back if you want to arrest me.
I hope nobody breaks into my car and leaves a bunch of weed. Yeah. Some sort of
that's a good
reverse
move.
Good karma burglary.
Oh, man.
That's known to happen in Myrtle Beach.
Speaking of the 10, by the way, this is absolutely random, but anybody going through El Paso, they have there's a small chain called Taco Cabana.
Oh yeah,
there's one in Atlanta. There's I don't
right
see
off
many.
Lee Trevino Taco Highway Cabanas? There.
Yeah, I don't see enough of them.
It's off the Lee Trevino Highway.
Yes, they've got a new item. They got got smoked brisket tacos. Oh boy, ooh. With peppers and onions.
It's funny because like last night of that sounds really good.
Yeah,
the last
going
night
back
of
into some familiar boogie monster territory.
The smoked last night brisket of, tacos.
Enough of this firsthand experience. Yeah. You ever have these tacos at Taco Cabana?
It's for a limited time only. I can't encourage you enough to get
it's
over.
It's happening
there.
Right now.
Yeah,
man,
get over
the
there.
News. Human beings are for a limited time.
Get you
time
some Taco
only.
Cabana.
2050, I heard, is the new date.
We had some. Dies. Yeah,
get
I did
to
hear
Taco
that as
Cabana
well.
Taco Cabana for the smoked brisket tacos.
We. Ooh, had some chicken wings the last night there because I was like, you know what? I'm done being tuned up. Mm-hmm. I'm done being tuned in.
Yeah.
Give me some meat. Shut this shit down. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I would have beer bonged Skittles if they had them. Shut down this, close this third eye forever because I don't like what I'm seeing. And they ordered these wings from someplace in Chattahoochee that had like jalapeno jam.
Oh yeah.
Like like sauce. Yeah, holy shit. Yeah, oh my god. I got a jar of jalapeno jam at my house and I still got your old deep fryer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So like, that's all I can think about is like making these trying to replicate these wings.
Yeah.
Even though I'm trying to still be
savory
meat free but
jellies, man.
Mm. Mm. So good. The best probably the best maybe the best one of the best wings I've ever had. Mm-hmm. From like a joint.
Nice.
It was so good. There was no better way to fall off the meat wagon than eating those wings.
One of the few websites I could get hard evidence on was the Taco Cabana website. That's an Applewood smoked brisket taco is what that is. I think what you're talking about.
They got a couple different variations. And the one
grilled,
I had
grilled peppers and onions.
Peppers and onions.
Soft shell.
Another one. Soft shell.
With queso and roasted jalapenos. Mm-hmm.
Wheat or corn tortilla.
Flour.
Flour tortilla.
Just a
wheat.
This is just a pure...
Fucking rookie.
He's so upset at me right now.
Fuck. I take two tacos.
And a side of rose quartz wheat with shell. My wheat.
Just rub them deep into my push.
But it's just one of the best fast food items I've had in years. Real good. Real good.
Just smash them between my huge titties, please. Thanks.
Wheat. Wheat. Fucking dork.
Well, this looks like it's turned into a double episode here.
Good times. Ryan, where can we find all of your many cool projects?
RyanSingerComedy.com. I got this new podcast I started about 4 months ago. It's called This Is Where the Magic Happens. Mm-hmm. My buddy Angela Lovell, who's like a high-level witch. She's crazy, powerful witch. We do a weekly podcast now.
Like you put a comma in that.
Crazy, powerful.
She's crazy.
Witch.
Oh, powerful witch.
Well, that actually might apply as well.
Yeah.
She's got so many stories. I'm working on a paranormal documentary based on her and her family that's also got a true crime element to it.
Yes,
which I'm very excited
crazy.
About. That's ongoing.
You've been keeping me abreast of that.
We're in development on that.
Is that,
right
is that
now.
A teaser that you can give people?
Well, let's just say that if people are familiar with the concept of attachment, spirits being attached to people or a person because of a traumatic event, there is an unsolved murder in her family that we believe, that I believe, has led to an attachment of crazy levels of high levels of paranormal activity for Angela her entire life. And she's also like
a very powerful witch. Crime.
Well, we think we can, and we can also figure out. We think that's tied to the attachment of paranormal activity. We're talking fairies, trolls, ghosts. We're talking understanding past lives, all kinds of really cool stuff. And we're in development right now with that. But it all started from that podcast, which is pretty cool. And then I'm still doing my podcast, Me and Paranormal You.
What's the name of the new podcast, by the way?
This Is Where the Magic Happens.
Right. Okay.
And Angela's wild and fun. And I just did a series on my podcast, Me and Paranormal You, called Problems in the Paranormal, where right now there's only been 3 episodes where we tackle some of the big problems in the paranormal world that I don't like being associated with. When it comes to white supremacy, racism, anti-Semitism, things like that, especially happening
that
in the ufology world.
Really?
There's a big problem with it.
Well, I know conspiracy theories in general kind of that ilk of like they're against the white man. It's the Jews.
Anytime you hear it's the Zionists. That references a piece of propaganda that's a forgery, that's not a real document, called the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, which happened in the mid to late 19th century, which was debunked immediately, but yet was spread around by Henry Ford, created 100,000 copies of it, and disseminated it because he was a huge anti-Semite.
Henry Ford.
Yeah, and that is the basis of the Jews run the bank and they're going to take over the world through money, not through warfare. That's where that all comes from. Like the George Soros, whenever people are like,
they
George
already
Soros.
Have Hollywood. They're getting the banks too. They really are greedy.
So that's where the George Soros thing comes from. It all points back to this really hateful bullshit that's not real. Mm-hmm. And, so not to mention one of the big guys who was the director of programming at Gaia Television, he's no longer currently, but he was for years, has said some really racist stuff on other programs.
Came up right when I was
I'm a subscriber to them.
He has since. I'm not the guy who outed him, but I had there's these buddies of mine called, it's called Paranormal Hood Live Radio. Mm-hmm. It's these guys, Jiggy and Smoke King, they have a paranormal radio show, and they just don't care about if you're spreading some bullshit out there in the paranormal world, they're coming after you. The guys are oh, we'll name names.
Good.
You know? And so I went on their show and we were talking about some of the problems with the big names like David Wilcock and Corey Good and how they've become cult leaders and And, you know, it's all bullshit, man. And it's like all these people think there's blue avians and the Sphere Being Alliance of these UFOs, and they're the big ticket items at all the conferences, and they're just frauds. And so this other guy who's a racist, like who said some really racist things, I should say that at the very least, he was in charge of programming at Gaia TV for years, and now he's like trying to get in front of the downfall of all this stuff by like trying to out these other guys. When in fact, and then he blamed his racist shit on saying he had cancer and was really sick and almost dying. And I was like, the last I checked, you know, colon cancer doesn't make you say racist stuff. And so it's just trying to like, I don't know. I feel like you just have to start a new community. You know, it's like
I've been curious, like, what is, like, the conspiracy there? Like, we got into it, you know, from some belief, but a lot of, like, it's entertaining to, like, dive into that as opposed to the actual news that is just poisonous and toxic right now. Mm-hmm. But then it's still, then that stuff became toxic. Like, you go deep enough in these things.
The
like,
toxicity is everywhere now.
And is it that it's... You know, that Flat Earth documentary that came out on Netflix.
Oh, Under the Dome?
Yeah.
I loved it. That was so good.
No, wasn't it Beyond the Curve?
Or Beyond the Curve, is that it?
Yeah, where they and then the one where they prove themselves wrong.
Yeah.
But that guy, like, is it like an ego thing that they start, like, enough people start following them that they won't admit they're wrong?
They've got too much invested in it.
So they're just going to keep, it's a very Trump type thing. It's like, just keep going. Like, no matter how ridiculous you might even know you're being, people are still following.
They're like racehorses. They got the blinders on.
Yeah, I'm going hard in the paint.
Chase that rabbit, motherfucker.
Yeah. And so I wonder, is that like where they get to this?
I don't know. I can't speak for them.
Some of the comedians that go into motivational speaking and stuff is like, oh, is it because you really start thinking you're changing lives after your comedy performance? Like you really got enough Facebook messages that like, oh, it really means a lot.
You know, it became clear to me that I had a bigger purpose.
Kyle Cease changed my life.
Like that kind of shit, like, is that you can, it, like, that kind of that input can really start sculpting your own?
I think
ego.
So, because I mean, I'm not going to act like it, you know, like, you know, the attention and all that kind of stuff isn't kind of like this weird intoxicating drug on some level. But, like, I'm not one of these guys who wants to be like the big ticket item at like a paranormal conference where, like, come to this talk and I will tell you about my government insider who gave me information that nobody else
and
has.
You have to sell those tickets now. Yeah. Now it's your livelihood. Now it's your ego.
Exactly.
Now you have to be that person and you can't admit you're wrong.
Like, yeah. And they did it like these guys, Corey Good and Wilcock, they did something really, I mean, interesting. I mean, they positioned themselves as the authorities of the government, the secret space program and all that shit. And if you claimed you had a government insider and they didn't know who they were, you're a fraud. Because we've got the insider, so there's no way you have an insider that we don't have. Mm-hmm. Like, that means you're making this stuff up, trying to get money out of our crowd. But when, in fact, they were frauds the whole fucking time, and this other guy, Jay Widener, really propped them up and made them, like, the big names, and he's the guy who said the racist stuff, who is now, he's now disavowed these comments, which, you know, and to his defense, he did email me back when I was like, I'm going on my podcast and I'm calling you a racist. Do you want to, like, talk about this? And then... You know, and then he did respond to me, but like he said, you know, he disavowed him. And so I responded like, well, show me where you disavowed these comments so I can point people to that.
Then
he just wrote, tell Corey I said hi, which is Corey Good, who he turned on. Blah, blah. It's like, I'm not getting into your bullshit drama.
Time. Yeah.
So that, like, that's good. You're doing a podcast. It's like, it's none of that stuff. It's like, all good, like positive, insightful look at thing, not like the drama.
Yeah. I'm trying not to, I mean,
conspiracy.
Yeah. Like, I try not to do any of that. I mean, like, the 3-part miniseries called Problems in the Paranormal.
Real Housewives
just
of
identifying these people who were problems and calling them out for it. But it's not what my podcast became or is. It was just like a miniseries I was doing as a part of it. But I'm more interested in solutions than I am, like, just sitting around name calling and all that kind of stuff. I mean, because there's people who are really good at that, and I'll let them do it. Like, you know. And Jiggy and Smoking, they got a fun program, and it's great, and they don't mind doing all that. And it's like, I'm like, go ahead, that's your thing. Mm-hmm. I'll jump on your show every once in a while to talk about stuff, but like, you know, that's not my forte, as you guys know. I'd rather talk to people about the haunted house they grew up in, or the, you know, whatever else, or the portal that they went to, or
not the business side of it. Like those guys are all on the business side. They're all like the multi-level marketing part of it.
Yeah,
yeah.
If I tell you I'm the only one that believes in, I'm the only one that could show you the way. You have to give me your money, and then I'll teach you to be in tune with stuff, and then you can go forth and teach other people. It's like that.
I just want to find evidence of ghosts. Prove that aliens are real, and it changes everything. It changes existence as we know it.
Yep. Well, you got close. Well, okay, you got close and it freaked you out. We already have the Navy saying that aliens were real because they were chasing them down. That video that came out in 2017 and nobody cared.
Well, yeah, my mom brought that up, and I was like, if people were paying attention, it's, you know, people have been talking about the evidence of UFOs for over 70 years now.
Yeah,
and you know, and everybody is just now acknowledging it, which is, I guess it's good news that that even people like my mom are hearing about it now. Mm-hmm. And it's not just quacks and kooks like us who are hearing about it. But it's like, you know, UFOs are indisputable. If someone tells me UFOs are bullshit, I'm like, you just told me the earth is flat. There's so much evidence proving that. I don't know who's driving them. I don't know who's piloting. Yeah, yeah. That's a different discussion.
But there's the Navy videos that came out in 2017. The Navy, you know how they like, oh, the fucking rah-rah-rah. No, I'm a logical, based real in the real world. I don't believe in no shit. Cool. Here's the military. You know what you love? The military. Here's them going, we don't know what this is, and it's probably UFOs. And nobody nothing happened. Nothing happened.
Maybe because that's a paradigm shift that people aren't willing to make. You know, in their lives, like in the way they view the world. And sooner or later, something big's going to have to happen, I guess, maybe. I don't know what it'll do for people. Or maybe it's a slow burn with, like, I mean, because whether people want to accept it or not, like, even doing, like, goofy podcasts about this kind of stuff, people are listening to it. And they're, like, they're at least opening up to the idea that, you know, the aliens could eat fried chicken, you know, or be interested in something like that. So I think it's all beneficial pushing the discussion forward.
It's in the
consciousness. It's in the zeitgeist or whatever. And I don't know who's driving the UFOs, but when someone tells me, oh, there's no evidence of UFOs, I was like, you're not the most ignorant, but now you are proving yourself to be so ignorant that you are telling me
so much.
You're giving me fantasy.
Yeah, and especially when the American military, which is like, we're the strongest and the best and nothing can ever...
We know everything.
We can't catch these and we don't know what they are.
Yeah.
That's not something that they would admit. Like, that's... that one, like, really? Nothing? All right, whatever. 2050, it's all done.
Oh, boy. Ryan, thanks for stopping by, buddy.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Take care of yourself.
Man, we're glad you're here, man. We're glad you're alive.
Hey, I'm Tom Baudet, dude. Keep a light on for me.
One more time, your website?
RyanSingerComedy.com. It's got links to everything. RySing, RYSING. Twitter and Instagram.
And me and Paranormal You.
This is where the magic happens.
This is where the magic
documentary happens. Coming out. I don't know. Who knows when the documentary will come out? It's Ed Brown's project. Ed Brown's great. If you're interested in Bigfoot, you know, check out Ed Brown. Check out Dan Lindholm. Check out David Wright. Those guys have been out there for years, like in the woods looking for evidence. Yeah, cool. Go to crazy places. They sleep out there overnight. I mean, like, they're doing it.
Awesome.
Man, tie a rope on yourself before you go jumping through these portals, man. Get a
paracord. Tie a paracord around me.
Get
something. Tether yourself, man.
Thanks for swinging by, buddy. Kyle, what you plugging, buddy? You got any dates? You got nothing?
I'll be in Eau Claire.
Yeah? Eau Claire.
Eau Claire on Sunday.
Well, that's
fun. So, it seems so minuscule now.
I know, but still.
Been through a journey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I got the cheese ape up there. You know that. They got the cheese ape in Oklahoma.
They got cheddar monkeys?
They got
You smell them before you see them.
Cheese ape.
I'll make a quick announcement. I've decided to, I haven't even told you this, but I'm gonna be more active on responding to emails. The problem is we've got the Twitter, we got the Facebook, we got the Instagram, we got the email. Feel free to holler at me on any of those platforms, but if you want an answer, if you want me to respond, BoogieMonsterPodcast@gmail.com. That's where everything, I'm going to funnel it all that way. If you want to send me a silly meme or you want to send me a picture of the Bigfoot's real and he tried to eat my ass hat, feel free to do that.
I have that hat.
Instagram or Twitter. Yeah, but if you got questions that need answers or you want responses, BoogieMonsterPodcast@gmail.com.
So, somebody did send a pretty interesting video. We can go into this later, but it was a YouTube. It was an old unsolved mystery thinking that the Zodiac Killer was also... Look, I'm going to fuck it up now. It was... Oh, shit. Never talk about something.
Also, I'm... patrons, I want to apologize for some fucking reason. We totally forgot to do the Q&A bonus for May. Right, and I could have swore that we had recorded that.
We beefed it. We were trying to record a bunch before we both went on the road. And
but I thought for sure we had recorded it, and I guess we didn't. So anyway... Apologies. We'll give you a big, fat, long one. For June. So we got you a Q&A coming up soon. But sorry for the May. Just completely forgot. That's what we do.
Oh, this is what it was. They thought maybe that the Zodiac Killer and the Unabomber were the same person.
Oh. Old Ted Kaczynski.
It's an old Unsolved Mysteries. It was on the Reddit. And the Unsolved Mysteries from 2004. But I'm like, all right, I'll watch this. And I was like, ooh, kind of interesting.
But those are just two totally different skill sets.
But they talk about how the Unabomber was going to UC Berkeley at the same time Zodiac stuff. And it was all about taunting the media, which is what the Zodiac Killer did. It's what the Unabomber did.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like some of it's a stretch, but it was, of all the other things we're trying to draw parallels between, this one was
how is there not a TV series already with them as college roommates? what's the Zodiac Killer's name?
That's why.
Okay, yeah. See, I'm not like into the serial killer stuff like everybody is, but it seems like some fanfic crossover between these two.
Just but, like, two buddies. What do you want to do tonight? I don't know. Big games happen. I'm not really a fan of football.
Do you want to go look for some girls?
You do with all those
yeah, but like, girls. What do you want to do after you meet them? I don't know. Watch the life leave their eyes.
Oh, damn. All right.
Anyway.
Holler at your boys.
The Boogie Monster.
Network.